The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Life can always use more Cedar Point. And right now, you can get more Cedar Point for less with the Fun Day Bundle for just $74.99. Each bundle gets you admission, parking, and all-day dining for one low price. That means more coasters like Steel Vengeance and more nostalgic fun in the boardwalk area. But you better hurry because this bundle won't last. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
During the 1960s, the United States and its allies believed they were engaged in a struggle for the very existence of the free world. The Soviet Union seemed to be spreading its influence all across the Asian continent and into parts of Western Europe, and seemed poised to take the leap across the Atlantic. For the Kennedy administration, its problem was an island nation just 103 miles from U.S. soil. In Cuba, despite multiple efforts to stem the red tide, communism had taken root. The government of the United States feared that if the fledgling communist government was left to its own devices, then the rest of South and Central America could fall to the Soviets just like well-stacked dominoes. In order to stop the Latin American countries from getting ideas, the U.S. was dead set on trying to dislodge Fidel Castro's communist regime by any means possible, even if that meant fabricating an event to justify the invasion of Cuba. How could the U.S. start a war with Cuba? What possible justifications were on the table? What kinds of snakes sound like AK-47s? This case file, the theorists bring the conspiracy heat to Havana on Operation Northwoods.
Welcome to Alien Theorists Theorizing Case File 95. Operation Northwoods. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
I'm Andrew.
Well, another excellent intro, and everyone said
nailed
the name.
It. Flawless execution.
We're bringing back little segment. Where in the world is Mr. Conspiracy? He's had enough of Australia.
He's out.
He's out. Mr. Conspiracy is heading back to Canada April 8th. So he's if you have limited time to see him in Australia. So message him if you want to go for a beer.
But where is
he's
in Australia?
On his way out. I don't know, some place that's got a lot of oos, like a lot of O's in it, and
Humpty Doo.
I don't know. One
some
of the
kangaroos.
Kangaroo.
Crocodiles. Bunch of that bullshit.
Yeah. One of those places. It's hard to keep track of him now. He sold the van.
I seen a picture of it. It was like on a flat deck. I thought it broke down and he said fuck the van or something.
But he sold
the conspiracy machine?
Yeah. Gone. Let me tell you how much research was done in there. Zero.
About three cards worth.
Full of a bunch of fucking blank cue cards.
Yeah.
There's a lot of thinking
unsolved
going on in there, but
yeah.
No real research.
All right, let's get into some space news. What do we got for space news? Solar farms in space could be renewable energy's next frontier. China wants to put a solar power station in orbit by 2050, and it is currently building a test facility to find the best way to send power back to the ground.
That's cool.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It's like sending a big energy beam from space down to Earth.
Yeah.
I told you guys that is the James Bond plot. Like, that is a plot from James Bond. It's directly from that movie with the one with Halle Berry.
Huh. Which one's the one with Halle Berry?
Die Another Day?
That's Diamonds Are Forever.
No.
No?
Die Another Day?
Die Another Day with Halle Berry Madonna did the song. And they built a giant space laser that was supposed to be like a solar power satellite thing. But then it was Project Icarus or something. And the guy was like, yeah, hey, cool. Come look at my giant solar beam death ray. And yeah, that was it.
So you're telling me it was Project Icarus and it didn't turn out? That's shocking.
Exactly. It worked.
Then fucking James got in the way, that prick.
Always shutting it down.
Unlimited solar power.
So SpaceX launched its Crew Dragon spaceship.
Yep.
It docked with the ISS on March 3rd, and there was the first ever crime in space. NASA astronauts stole Little Earthy from SpaceX, a $20 plush toy planet. They stole it from inside the Crew Dragon spaceship and kept it for themselves.
Those bastards.
Wow. Astronauts are jerks.
Yeah. So they sent it back empty-handed. There was no money aboard, so it was stolen. So there's now a stolen plush toy. So
this is the first space burglary noted.
Yeah.
That we know of. I'm sure there's a lot of shady shit going on up there.
They've been taking great pictures of they've been like strapping the little Earth doll into seats and training it, putting it through training. It's pretty funny. They got a bunch of great pictures up. You can see it. A little Earthy floating around on NASA's Twitter and stuff. So it's a funny one. They got him in breathing masks, all sorts of ones. They got him in dust masks doing work, working at computers, doing some exercise with a little headband on. Looks like he's lifting weights there.
So it's really good science going on up there.
Really good science, yeah.
This is what my
in other news,
are paying for.
Astronauts slowly losing their mind of boredom. That's all I got. This other space news is fucking garbage that I had.
On that same space news, that same Crew Dragon thing touched down just on March 8th here. And that's pretty much it.
Successfully,
yeah. It did make it back, right? All complete, all intact.
How long do we send up people now, you think?
I'm sure there's going to be a few more tests on that same type of craft. And then
I guess pretty much ready to go. I think they're saying 2020.
Get someone up there. They've done enough test flights. Just go for it.
I mean, they had that sensor dummy that went all the way up, and I think everything went fine. So I think they're ready to put people up. And everything was automated, so it's not like they have to do any work. So I think they're ready to put people up there.
That's awesome.
Super cool. I got one quick space news here. Remember when we talked about the first time they identified those gravity waves?
Yeah.
Well, the thing, LIGO, it's called, is getting an upgrade, some type of quantum technique they're upgrading it with, and it's going to be finding, I guess, these gravity waves weekly instead of just like once or twice a year kind of thing. So just the first step to harnessing gravity waves as a source of power. It doesn't say that, but that's what I'm saying.
It doesn't say that, but that's the direction it's going.
It could be. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. You know, come back in a couple hundred years, we're harnessing gravity power.
Yeah, once a couple hundred more years, and we're still broadcasting from our robot bodies.
Yep. Just heads in a jar. Yes.
I don't know about you guys. I'll be heads in a jar and a giant destructo robot.
Like the fucking Nixon bot from Futurama. All right. Well, anyone else got any space news?
Negative.
Got some other news. If you didn't know already, if you don't know, now you know. We're going to AlienCon. We have a panel. We're not sure the time.
Details to follow.
Details to follow. We're going. We're going to be there. Hold off on buying your tickets. We're still waiting for our promo code to give to our fans.
Yeah, I don't know why it's taking so long. We should have it. Yeah, we should have it right away. But
yeah, we'll message them this week. Maybe pressure them a little bit.
If we have it by the time you listen to this, I'll put something in there. We'll make sure you know.
But we've been saying we can bring at least 15 people.
we got to beat the Star Wars panel from last year. It had 10 people. We got to beat that.
You do a head count?
We want to do
Is
it.
There 10 people?
I didn't do a head count, but that's my guess.
I don't even know 15. If there was 10 people.
I'd be generous. It's probably about 15.
Yeah, so we can do 16. Well, I think we can do 15.
I think when Dan took over the mic, there were a few more people.
Amen. They're like, oh, this guy sounds like he's talking about. He knows what he's talking about something. But yeah, so it's going to be a fun weekend. We're going to be there. It's going to be an absolute blast. So if you've been humming and hawing on it, get on it. We'll send the promo code soon. If you don't want to wait, you don't have to wait. I don't know how much you'll save with our promo code, but yeah, we'll see you all there. Hopefully we can get a pretty good turnout.
It's going to be awesome.
We'll have some t-shirts and some swag to give away anyways, too.
Well, yeah, I'll have the t-shirt cannon, be blasting that people for sure.
They're probably going to shut that down. We'll have to just toss them.
Yeah, not going to let me walk in with my backpack-powered fucking cannon.
we'll rig some up. I still have my old paintball gun, but then we'd have to get the CO2 down there. It's going to be a big thing.
We'll do something. Slingshot, you know, we'll get something. We'll just toss them out gently.
Let's fire up the Randomatron.
Yep.
Set it to fan stories.
Dialed in. And we're thinking at it right now.
Fan submission.
Wow, listen to that baby purr. Unbelievable.
I've been working on it.
Yeah, she's really tuned in there. Sounds good.
Running well maintained.
Running smooth.
Mm-hmm.
I got a story in here. I don't know if it's... He doesn't say if we can use his name, so I'm just going to call him Mr. Parks.
Mr. Parks.
Mr. Parks. Here's his story. Okay, my UFO story. I'll keep it brief. It sounds a little crazy, but I have no reason to make it up. This is what made me a firm believer in UFOs. Whether or not what I saw was an ET or man-made, I do not know. I did not take any pictures, nor did the friend that witnessed this with me. We were too shocked by what we were witnessing. Both of these events happened within a few days of each other, around the same time, and in the same general area. Me and my best friend Sam, around 18, 19 at the time, were sitting in his truck late one night, talking, hanging out, and probably smoking a little herb. But I assure you, the herb did not make us see what we saw. It was real. I like that. So that's a period between... I thought it was going to continue on to something else. It was real.
Period.
As we were talking, I noticed this bizarre-shaped craft in the sky with deep red lights. Instantly, I recognized this was not a plane or a helicopter. I said something along the lines of, "Dude, what the fuck is that?" We both just froze and started watching it. My eyes started getting teary with excitement, amazement, and maybe a little fear. Am I really seeing this? I'm actually seeing a UFO, I thought to myself. The craft did the usual stereotypical UFO stuff, that is, hovering around the sky, going whatever direction it wanted to, before finally just disappearing. We turned to each other and just were overwhelmed. Neither of us were really scared, just amazed. We kind of laughed about it and said things along the lines of, dude, we totally just saw a UFO. And I was made a firm believer. Fast forward a couple nights, and this is where it starts sounding a little crazy. But I swear, it happened again. I swear it happened. We're hanging out again, and we decide to take a drive down to the gas station and pick up some smokes. As we're driving, we pass this house, and directly beside this house was a large field which had nothing planted in it yet, as this all took place late winter, early spring. As we pass this field, we take a quick glance over and notice a huge ring of red lights in the field. We don't stop to take a look, we just drive faster because if it is the same thing we saw in the sky, we aren't trying to get involved with it as it's obviously landed. Again, we were both absolutely amazed. It could have been anyone out in that field because it was so late. Or it couldn't have been anyone out in that field because it was so late in the evening, and who wants to be working that late and in that weather? We made it to the gas station, but did not see it again on our way back. We still occasionally discuss these events, and both of us still think it was absolutely incredible. I personally feel lucky to have witnessed it. I don't think either of us really share it with a lot of people, because we know it sounds crazy. That's my UFO story.
That's cool.
Thank you. Thanks for that, Mr. Parks.
Mr. Parks.
Excellent UFO story. You got your own UFO story. Send it in. We'll dial it up into the Randomtron, and maybe we'll read it on air. We love hearing other people's UFO stories, paranormal stories, ghost stories, ghoul stories, or just if you have just an overall good story. Send it in.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get to the topic at hand.
Operation
Northwoods.
You say it so friendly, but
not Southwoods. Yeah. Northwoods. Yeah. The best of the woods.
Talk about your government having your back.
This one is crazy. And as you start to research this one, I find there's more on a lot of other subjects because this isn't a conspiracy. This actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
People just cite, like, there's not really, like, conspiracy-wise anything to talk about it, but they go from this as being a pointer to a lot of other conspiracies later on down the road.
Yeah, there's a history of false flags, like, throughout all of human history, really.
Like, Dan will know this, but didn't it, like, the idea of false flag, doesn't it come from, like, pirates where they used to, you know, sail with friendly flags until they'd get close enough to another ship, and then they'd switch their flag to a pirate flag and invade.
That probably where the term false flag comes from. So, I mean, it sounds very.
That's what when I was doing a little bit of research, that's what I heard. That's what I was hoping you were going to set the tone by doing the fucking story in your Steve the Pirate voice.
Operation Northwoods. Be a great,
Mr. Parks.
Be great success, yar. Dan, let's get into it. Dan, what's Operation Northwoods about? What do we got going on here?
Well, Operation Northwoods falls under the umbrella of what was known as Operation Mongoose. And Operation Mongoose was pretty much during the Kennedy administration in the early 1960s, Operation Mongoose was like the ongoing planning, really, or like the anticipation of or continuing operations of trying to subvert and bring down the government of, like, the communist government of Cuba. They were trying to overthrow the government of Cuba. So under Operation Mongoose, there were a tons of other kinds of ideas. Operation Northwoods was one of them. But there are a couple other, there were probably at least like 20 ideas, and it was pretty much just an effort by the joint. It was pretty much, I'd say it's a joint effort by a bunch of different agencies, including the CIA, the United States, like, Information Agency, the DOD, and the United States Joint Chiefs of Staff, the Department of Justice was in on it at some point. So I had a lot of players in it. There's a lot of political players in it, but it was pretty much all of these organizations kind of coming together and trying to figure out a way to
overthrow the
and get
Cuban
rid of those
government.
Fucking communists.
And not just overthrow, but like from my reading, it's like start a war with Cuba.
Well, yeah, they were trying to figure out a way to justify an invasion and then, well, a takeover of Cuba and then an installation of a democratic government, which is something that the Americans had been doing for a long time. Like this is the 1960s. And at this point, we haven't talked about it yet, but right after World War II, a lot of the stuff that happened in Italy, if you go back and see like the political unrest that happened in Italy, there's like a big schism between the Catholic Church and how they were going to function in Italy versus what was an up and coming communist party. And there was a lot of intervention in there by, well, the CIA and American, really just American money and investment kind of went into it. And that was kind of the proving ground for the idea of how America wanted to go forward in combating communism. You know, this was kind of the prototype for the Cold War. We don't want to open conflict. We just want to be able to, you know, stand toe to toe with them or stop them from taking over the political stage.
So crazy.
And establishing like a legitimate government.
Government.
Yeah.
Well, you know, at least we know that they're good at choosing names of operations, because Operation Mongoose is probably the coolest fucking name I've ever
Your favorite
heard.
Favorite ever.
That was funny probably because that's best. Also that was Andrew's coach's that was the Operation Mongoose was to make sure Andrew got that nickname and make up that story the whole so we could justify getting a mongoose tattoo.
Right.
It's all this
Operation Mongoose.
Yeah. Great
it was
success.
All fucking part of the plan.
Now he's got it.
Worked.
Hell yeah. So in this meeting, what were some of the things they were discussing? How were they going to justify overthrowing this government that really, other than their ideology, they weren't posing a real threat to like attacking the states? I mean, Cuba's tiny.
Right. And Fidel Castro was of the idea that he didn't want to start anything with the United States. He was pretty keen, whether it was a result of perhaps communist information or their intelligence leaked to him. He knew kind of what game the U.S. was playing. And the U.S. also kind of knew this as well. They knew that they weren't just going to jump into a war, and they knew Cuba wasn't going to break out into civil war anytime soon. A lot of the intelligence services had already pretty much made it a point in their advisory to advise the president, knowing that the exiles who had fled Cuba and were kind of they were going to be what the U.S. considered like, oh, okay, you guys are the rightful, you know, people of Cuba, and we want to be able to build a resistance off of you. But they couldn't, because they knew that there were no genuine charismatic leaders of like an anti-communist movement. There were no groups or persons in that group of Cuban exiles that could, they knew they weren't going to be able to build a resistance around them. So they were trying to find different ways to justify a war.
Yeah, to win the public's like confidence in going to war.
Yeah.
Right. We needed a what was it? The Lusitania. Like, we needed something.
That was one, I think.
The sinking of the Lusitania.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We needed something to galvanize the people to justify our war, to say that, okay, you know, they attacked us. You know, we needed a Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. Basically, to justify our war to getting in there. But we couldn't get one because Cuba wasn't going to attack us, because Fidel Castro is not a complete moron.
You know, at this point,
he must have known he was public enemy number one.
Well, after the Bay of Pigs.
Yeah,
right?
And any act of aggression, they're going to just steamroll the whole country.
Right, and Fidel Castro knew that. So... and the U.S. knew that he knew that. So the whole Operation Mongoose, well, not really Operation Mongoose, that's a bunch of other things, but Operation Northwoods, and you know, in particular, was the plan, or a couple of plans, of how to start a war, how to make it look like Cuba was starting a war with the U.S.
That whole idea seems so fucking nuts to me. Just that sentence right there, like, we gotta fake this to the people so we can do it. Like, it just...
What? It's been, like Dan said, it's been going on forever. The fucking Nazis were pros of that shit. Like, Operation Himmler and when they burnt the Reichstag.
Yeah, there's dozens and dozens of proven false flag events over the modern history, like, last, 150 years. And this is just...
Totally.
Right, and up to this point, America had mostly been active in, well, there's a lot of stuff that we did in Italy where we kind of tested things out on how to take control of elections, like meddling in elections, funding political parties, also funding terrorist groups and trying to make it look like these terrorist groups are part of another a certain political party to make the public see them in a certain light, to make them see them as the enemy, the communists as the enemy. And they'd also been kind of doing this thing where we'd been installing dictators in South America, you know, democratically elected governments in South America. So Cuba was just really important mostly because of its proximity to the United States.
Right.
And it's their relative closeness with the USSR.
So great. And let's not forget that this was classified for till when? From 62 to 1998, and then a full release in 2001. No one even knew anything about this, really.
I think some of it came out during the JFK Files Act. I don't remember exactly when that was. I thought that was in the 70s. Where parts of it came out.
No, yeah.
And not all of it.
97 was the JFK Assassination Records Review Board.
Right.
Yeah, it says coming to light in the year 2000 through a Freedom of Information Act request.
So relatively recent, just around the time of 9/11, pretty much. Just before.
Right before.
Yeah.
Right. Now, so some of the things that they were going to do, it's documented. A series of well-coordinated incidents will be planned to take place in and around Guantanamo to give genuine appearance of being done by hostile Cuban forces. And incidents to establish a credible attacks were listed as this. These were some of their ideas. Start rumors, in brackets, many. use clandestine radio. To land friendly Cubans in uniform over the fence to stage attack on base. Three, capture Cuban-friendly saboteurs inside the base. Start riots near the base main gate with friendly Cubans. Blow up ammunition inside the base. Start fires. Burn aircrafts on base. Sabotage. Lob mortar shells from outside base into base. Capture assault teams approaching from the sea or vicinity of Guantanamo City. Capture militia group which storms base, sabotage ship in a harbor, large fires, sink ship near harbor entrance, conduct funerals for mock victims.
Yeah, there's a couple of really good ones. There's three in particular that I really liked while I was doing research. There was one. There's three good examples of kind of the operations that they're running. One of them, these ones are, they kind of go from feasible to non-feasible. First one is Operation Free Ride, which was they were going to create unrest among the Cuban. Yeah.
Take it easy.
The idea was to drop valid one-way airline tickets, Pan American or KLM one-way airline tickets, and they would be good for passage to Mexico City, Caracas, or any of the cities outside of the U.S. So people could get out of, you know, you could just fly people out of Cuba. Another one was called Operation Dirty Trick. the best names. This one dictated that if the Mercury manned orbit flight should fail, they were going to go ahead and provide irrevocable proof that it was the Cubans' fault. I don't know how you would prove that. Yeah, it's this little island for, yeah, they caused manned orbital missions to fail. I don't know how you would go about blaming them for that, but that was the idea. But the best one, this one's real great. And it's kind of what I think it's along the lines of ones that Brayden's were talking about, but this one's called Operation Bingo. And it was an incredibly complex plan, or they said it was a really complex plan. And they're like, there's no way that this is going to work. But somebody came up with the idea that in order to effect an attack on Guantanamo Bay, they were going to supply a large number of snakes to be placed outside the base. Noise provided by these snakes would simulate an actual firefight and presumably mislead the base into thinking it was being attacked. So,
like rattlesnakes or just like hissing snakes?
It doesn't specify what type of snake. That would be so many snakes.
Yeah, that's a lot of fucking snakes.
That's so many snakes.
That's unbelievable.
That's the best one. Operation Bingo. That's a really good one.
How is that?
So,
you know why? It's because the guy who fucking came up with that when they're sitting at the round table, he's like, what if we drop snakes and they all hiss? And then someone in the most sarcastic voice was like, bingo. Thanks for that one, the fucking idiot.
Thanks for that, Jeff.
We'll call that
great
Operation
idea.
Bingo. Really? Yeah, you fucking idiot.
You go ahead and go get those snakes together, Jeff.
Round them up.
God, fucking
you,
Jeff.
You got a feel for Jeff, because you know Jeff kind of just like shyly put that out there to his buddies before he went into the fucking meeting.
Yeah.
And they're all like, yeah, that's a great fucking idea, buddy.
Yeah.
Make sure you bring that up.
Yeah.
That'll be great.
It's his first day around the table. They're like, he's like, guys, I'm really nervous. I'm supposed to like, oh, fuck, I forgot. I was supposed to like find out a way that we can send the U.S. government into Cuba to justify a war with them. Quick, let's spitball some ideas. And he's like,
snakes?
Lots of snakes.
Snakes.
You ever heard of
snakes?
It's like sounds a gunshot.
Like, sounds like machine guns.
If you had like 1,000? Nah. 100,000. You would think they're shooting guns. And he's like, this is gold. This is gold. Goes there, gets just shit on.
Yeah, big time.
But it does kind of show the attitude that they had for this idea to try and overthrow the government of Cuba. This was like their biggest thing. And this was really, they devoted a lot of resources and a lot of time. All the intelligence services, DOD, CIA, probably FBI. No, I don't think the FBI was really in this one.
Well, they get into some even more scarier ones. There's ones where it's we could develop a communist Cuban terror campaign in the Miami area,
yeah,
in other Florida cities, and even Washington. Now, I don't know what this is, but it says use of an MIG-type aircraft by U.S. pilots could provide additional provocation, harassment of civil air attacks on surface shipping, and destruction of U.S. military drone aircraft by MIG-type planes would be useful as complementary actions. So basically they're talking about, you know, bombing on U.S. soils and doing terror attacks on U.S. soils. Goes on to say, hijacking attempts against civil air and surface craft should appear to continue as harassing measures condoned by the government of Cuba. They said it is possible to create an incident which will demonstrate convincingly that a Cuban aircraft has attacked and shot down a chartered civil airliner en route from the United States. The destination would be chosen only to cause the flight plan to cross Cuba. The passengers could be a group of college students off on holiday. And basically, they were going to take an actual aircraft, make it a drone. They even talk about painting it, numbering it to make it an exact duplicate of a civil registered aircraft that belongs to a CIA sort of shell organization, proprietary organization. That's the one.
There you go.
And then they would, an actual aircraft would be scheduled to allow a rendezvous in south of Florida. From the rendezvous point, the passenger carrying aircraft would descend to a minimum altitude and go directly to an Air Force base where arrangements will have been made to evacuate the passengers and return the aircraft to its original status. The drone aircraft will continue to fly the filed flight plan. When over Cuba, the drone will be transmitting on international distress frequency as Mayday, message stating it's under attack by Cuban MIG aircraft. The transmission will be interrupted by destruction of the aircraft, which will be triggered by a radio signal.
Now, seriously, like, how much of an asshole does Jeff feel like right now? Like, you better hope that he went before this guy, because how do you follow that up? Like, this shit is so thought out, and then this asshole wants to fucking place 1,000 snakes around the camp.
Well, I'm sure he had the logistics of getting all the snakes down. Like, I'm sure Jeff did a little bit of research on, he didn't just throw it out there. I'm sure he's like, look, Jesus, we'll take the snakes, we'll make sure that we'll keep them cool so they'll be inactive, like we'll let them out during the night. Like, they go out there, and then
here's the plan. We're gonna put them in bags, and then we're gonna hit them with sticks so they'll get really pissed and make lots of sounds. Okay?
Yeah. And they're like, yeah, but Jeff, when they fall from the height of the plane, they're gonna fucking die. They're like, Charles, what do you got? He's like, I'm thinking we get a drone aircraft painted exactly like this. They're like, fucking Charles.
Charles. Jeff's like, you guys told me you really liked my plan.
Yeah. Fucking Jeff.
Totally set up by Charles. They were like, they got in the academy at the same time, and this was the big test. And he's like, yeah, go with the snakes. It's good. It's unique.
Yeah, it's a great idea, man.
He's like, what are you going with? He's like, I don't know. Some
cost effective.
Some airplane shit. It doesn't even matter now that you got that snake thing.
Yeah.
But that's fucking crazy. Like, they were straight up... My thing is, what arrangements were they going to do with the passengers? So they were going to blow up this plane, make it well known, and then they're like, oh, we'll make plans to evacuate the passengers. But I'm like, well, if it gets out that any of the passengers are alive and this story gets out, like, game over on that one. Way to go, Charles. You didn't think that one through. But I'm sure there was some other subplan in that where it's like, maybe we just don't swap the aircrafts.
Yeah, I think a lot of these plans, I think the research that I did, a lot of these plans were never really, they never got off the ground. Most of these ones never even really got past even the planning phase, or just like the idea web. Like, I don't think any of them got past that stage. Nobody even got to a first draft of any of these good plans. A lot of the plans that have to do with blowing things up, or drone stuff, or blowing up a ship, or attacks on Guantanamo Bay, a lot of these plans came from the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So these were all generals, colonels, all that stuff. These were their ideas. Like, we gotta do it, start a war like this. Because that's how you start a war, by blowing things up. You know, that's just the way they thought. But there was another group, kind of think tank of intelligence officers, guys from, there was kind of, they were called them like the Caribbean Survey Group. And these were officials from CIA, like they were from the CIA, DOD, USIA. They all kind of came together in one group, and they kind of had to put out more plausible plans. They're like, you guys are fucking warmongers. Like, we don't need to blow anything up. We don't need to do that. We need to fuck with their minds. We need to mess with their minds, guys. So their idea was, they wanted to use the technique of cover and deception, or C&D. And cover and deception was basically going to be a gradual buildup of psychological harassment. And it would produce an aura of fear of a U.S. invasion. They wanted to coincide the timing of their operations. They were going to do things like... kind of the stuff they do now when you do like large scale military operations, or you're doing like naval exercises, that would look like a buildup for an invasion of Cuba. And they wanted to time a lot of these things during like essential times, or or really important times with the Cuban people. So, for example, they wanted to do some during the peak of sugar harvest, which is from February to April. And that would really disrupt Fidel Castro's call if he put it out to the militia. So all the people who are out on their farms, he'd have to call the militia to all get ready because they'd start thinking that, oh, the U.S. is getting ready to invade. We got to get all their stuff together. And they just really just wanted to wear these people down. You know, they really wanted these people just to live in fear, and just they would feel that that would provide.
Jeff goes, you want fear, eh? You know what? Snakes, I'm telling
snakes.
You.
What if we drop a bunch of snakes? What causes more unrest than snakes?
Yeah.
Just drop tons of snakes.
I'm talking snakes everywhere. Every corner you turn, there's a snake.
You ever been in a room wrong with three rattlesnakes?
That's my fucking nightmare. That is my fucking nightmare. It would work. I'd be fucked.
It shouldn't be, though. You're a mongoose. You should be fighting those snakes.
Should love snakes.
Yeah. Open the door, snakes. Yeah. Open the cupboard, snakes. Right? Then we drop the plane tickets. Who wants to stay in fucking Snakeville? No one. They're going to Mexico City. Get on the plane.
Brilliant.
Wait. They get on the plane. More snakes.
We totally could have. We could have sold this in 1962. We could have sold the snake idea. Cuba would be a democratic government right now if ATT were running Operation Northwest. If we were running Operation Mongoose right now, we'd have a democratically elected government in Cuba right now.
We'd
all be smoking Cuban cigars, and you wouldn't have to go, oh, well, you guys are in Canada. You guys can buy them. But,
actually,
you guys don't have an embargo.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I bet old Snake Jeff was, I bet he was the, you know, they're having this meeting. And I bet they laced his cup with LSD. Right? His cup was laced up, and they're like, well, let's see what Jeff comes up with. We'll give him a low dose LSD. He won't even know. Because they were doing that shit back then. So,
oh, hell yeah.
So maybe it's not even Jeff's fault. He had such a stupid idea.
What? This is dumb? I thought that we were onto something here.
I spat my water out. I mean, in theory, it's good, but it's like getting the snakes to do what you want. That's a difficult thing.
Like I said, throw them in a bag and hit them with a stick. They're all fucking solved.
Rough them up a little bit before you drop. But then you're still like dropping them all at once. I'm saying are you parachuting them in? And then are you parachuting them individually to get a good spread of snakes?
Definitely.
Interesting. So, Dan, back to your psychological. Now that we've determined that snakes was a way better idea.
No, that was pretty much it. Cover and deception was the idea to keep the Cuban people living in fear of a U.S. invasion and force Castro's hand, kind of get them in the mind that we could get them in the mindset that the U.S. could invade at any time and he would make a mistake, because that's what we wanted. United States wanted Fidel Castro to make a move, or at least if there was a move, be able to capitalize it and make it look like it was their fault and we have to invade Cuba. Even though we knew we had no real standing to do that. We didn't. There was no good justification to get in there. But Fidel ended up making his move in October of 1962, and that's where the Cuban Missile Crisis comes in. So all this planning, all of Jeff's snake plans went down the tubes.
As soon as they got bombs.
As soon as the Cuban Missile Crisis came along and we realized, well, oh, shit. Like, Fidel's playing in the big leagues. We gotta do something about this.
Yeah, now they got nukes just a couple hundred miles offshore from the U.S. I mean, that plan went out the window.
Mm-hmm.
You know what could bung up? You know what would bung up all the inner workings of those missiles?
Let me guess.
Cheer me out.
Snakes.
Snakes?
Snakes. They get in everywhere. Clog it up. They blow up right on the ships. Snakes
so
on the ship.
We need to design a military tactical snake delivery system.
Yeah. You know what's funny? Even though Jeff got fired from the CIA, he went on to be a pretty good screenwriter from what I hear.
Worked with great names such as Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, I think so. In I
the
think.
The 2006 flick, Snakes on a Plane?
No, I think he... I don't think he did that one. What's the one with him and Christy Ritchie? I think he did that one.
Oh, Black Snake Moan.
That Black Snake Moan, yes.
Yeah, I've unfortunately seen that.
That movie have nothing to do with snakes.
Dan, did you read the name?
Yeah.
He went, as long as you put it in the title, people love snakes.
So he had nothing to do with, what was it, John Voight and Jennifer Lopez and Ice Cube and Anaconda?
No, that's one snake.
He had nothing to do with Sir Mix-a-Lot's Baby Got Back song. And the classic line, my anaconda don't want none.
No, again, one snake.
I think Jeff's more of a lot of
small nothing
snakes
to do
as opposed to one really big snake. Yeah. You know?
Nicki Minaj song, Anaconda.
No. Zero. Again, one snake. If anything to do with like a ton of little snakes.
He had everything to do with Black Snake Moan.
Yeah, he wrote it.
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, hashtag look it up. I could be wrong.
He could have used a pseudonym. He was in the CIA.
I heard it from a friend of mine.
Yeah.
When I was researching this topic.
We got to get Jeff on the show.
Yeah.
We do.
Well, he's tough. He's big time now.
Is he still alive? Probably still. He's old. Yeah, yeah. He's an old guy, but he's still kicking.
Yeah, he's like 70, 75, 78 now, I think.
He's a real young gun when he was in the CIA in the 60s.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, he was like 18. Bright high.
Accelerated program?
Yeah, coming up with fucking snakes idea. He was ahead of the time, really.
Okay, let's bring it back. So Operation Northwoods is pretty much it was a release document. It's about 15 pages, the initial document, and I think they released more. It's like 190 different pages of different types of plans. But it's pretty much for... They wanted to get the military. They wanted to go into Cuba, stage false flag, as has happened before throughout history. But why didn't it go through?
From what I read, it got as high as JFK, and JFK was basically like, absolutely not.
This is
stupid. We're not doing the snake thing. Fire Jeff. Get him the fuck out of here.
JFK really didn't like snakes.
But it's crazy. Like, to me, the crazy part of this whole thing is that it got up to the president, and the president had to be the one that was like, "No, we're not fucking faking this shit just to justify going to war with another country." And like, had he been like a different type of person, maybe a war president. Right? Just look and said, you know
what?
He
knew the choice was going to, and it did make him really unpopular with the military, with the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Like, they really didn't like him after he turned down all their...
But that's okay. Nothing bad ever happened to him.
No, that's right.
Yeah,
he was just assassinated.
No one was happy with JFK's, well, many things he did, but primarily one of, like, this one here, like, not to take action against, like, communist Cuba, and then just a little over a year later, he is shot in the head and neck.
It's just, to me, it's like you look at these things and you look at the military trying to justify going into a country like this, and then it gives credence to, like, you know, you see 9/11, and then was that a false flag used to justify going into the Middle East, right? We've seen other acts designed for that, just to go into the Middle East. So you're like, now you're starting to look at all these terror attacks and you're like, well, I would like to say that no one would ever do that, but that was one person away from saying yes, from Operation Northwoods happening.
Yeah, but that's a little bit different. That's like, we're talking about maybe some Cuban nationalists being injured, killed, opposed to your own people.
How about this, though? How about this?
Slaughtered by the thousands.
Yeah, but what happens if a false flag goes through and the countries do go to war, and how many like innocent civilians are killed? Not necessarily of the U.S., but of countries that go into.
You would lose U.S. service members in the invasion effort. Like, that was going to be
you know, yeah, but, were you willing to pay that price? Not only are you going to kill civilians, but you're also, it's not like we're going to be able to go in there. You can't nuke them.
Like, yeah, but for the most part, like you're losing soldiers, which they're obviously fucking, you know what I mean, prepared to do, which they have been prepared to do.
The people pushing the chess pieces who are making the decisions about war and where to invade, they like, that's on their agenda. Like, okay, casualties, how many? Okay, 200 U.S. men, 25,000 civilians and other, like, from other country. So in 62, you had this incident, right, that didn't go through. But just a couple of years later, after JFK was assassinated, and, you know, now we're in Vietnam, and they also have something called the Gulf of Tonkin, the USS Maddox incident, which is, there was two incidences within a couple of days, and they're pretty much proven to be false. And that was the last push to get U.S. into Southeast Asia to fight communism there. So what didn't
work directly.
But what didn't work at, like, for Operation Northwoods seems to just very quickly, kind of the same thing happens in Asia as a false flag. And that led to how many deaths? Like, how many millions of fucking people died over there? Over because a couple of false, you know, what seems like a harmless thing, no one really got killed in a false flag. But it leads to something that's just like, just way worse.
And like nowadays, I think with all the NSA spying on your cell phones and all that kind of stuff, and that jazz, you know, you hear of, you know, we have all these terrible, like, you know, guy runs into his car into the crowd or all that kind of stuff in the name of Islam and weird stuff like that. Now, I'm just going to take a sidestep. In Canada, we had a really interesting case where these two people were radicalized. They were radicalized by Islam, like, extremists. They were taught how to build bombs. They were shown where to plant the bombs in Parliament, Victoria, and they went ahead and planted those bombs, and they were arrested by the RCMP. The only problem is, these two people never once were talking to Islamic extremists. The whole time, they were talking to undercover RCMP. So they were essentially, like, pressured into doing these crimes, which they did. And, I mean, they were fully prepared to go ahead with it.
Yeah.
And then busted right before they did it. But, you know, had the RCMP not been involved, you know, would they have done it? That raises a question. And that's kind of what I wonder with all these other ones. I'm like, how much of these ones are known? Like, I know they have all these things, keywords tapped and stuff like that. Even if they do one of those where they're like, we know this guy is going to run a car in to a crowd somewhere in whatever, wherever it happens. And they go, you know, but if we let it happen, it'll kind of give us more of a push to fight Islam extremists in the Middle East.
Well, yeah. Like,
do they pull the trigger on stopping it, or do they just kind of let it happen? And everyone, like, oh, there's no way we could have stopped it.
Well, that's like using opportunities for their own good.
Yeah.
That's like, I think Hillary Clinton was quoted on TV saying, like, oh, never let a good crisis go to waste. Right? You can use a crisis for so many different angles depending on how you spin the news.
Yeah.
Right?
And when all the news is fucking state-owned, it's
like,
it's a lot easier for countries, or, you know, it could be U.S. might not be the only one, that it could be, there's just the ones that we hear about, but it could be Soviet ones as well. You never know.
Without a doubt, man, without a doubt, it's going on all over the world.
And
without a doubt,
it's easy to do stuff. Like, if it's in the Middle East, it's easy to do that stuff in the Middle East just because it's so chaotic there. You know, there's no, that place is like the Wild West. You have so many different factions that hate each other, and it's easy just to set them off and just blame it on another sect, like another faction or religion or political party, and they'll buy it. Mm-hmm. You know, someone will buy it. And getting us involved over there has always been a stupid idea. It's never been a really great idea to get involved in the Middle East, and people just don't learn that lesson for, it's been like 1,000 years.
The religious
Crusades
wars never
weren't
go
a good
good
idea. Like, none of it was a good idea.
I've got a hard time believing with like a lot of these false flags, like that, you know what I mean? That they'd be capable of keeping shit under wraps for that long.
Buddy,
you know what I mean? With 9/11 especially, like,
they don't keep under wraps. It's just not reported.
This stuff always comes to light. It takes like 10, 15, 20 years, but it comes
irrefutable.
Out.
There'd be irrefutable evidence if something. Think about how many people would be involved in 9/11. Like,
oh,
they
not
couldn't
this
even keep
argument
fucking,
again.
They couldn't even fucking keep Watergate.
The U.S. trained Al Qaeda forces before 9/11.
That was something else, though.
Yeah, but those same forces then turned like they
right, which well, they've always so done, which has always been we trained the Fidel Castro and like his bunch.
Yes,
and we've always done that. The United States has always been doing that. We've literally been doing that since the end of World War II. We've been training. Like we'll talk. I mean, we'll have to talk about Operation Gladio. That's coming up, and that's going to be a nasty one that involves like the United States government or really like the CIA. And it's like the CIA in all its glory when it was virtually unchecked by. The CIA didn't really get reined in until like the 70s. And before the 70s, it was like the CIA could do whatever the fuck they wanted and get away with it, you know? But they've been doing things like this, like training people. Well, not even just training people, but I mean, in Europe alone, they took a bunch of ex-SS and all those guys and had them train, radical political parties. You call them terrorists. In Italy and places that were going to be part of the Soviet Union or where there was a heavy communist presence, they always put people in there to train people.
But that's what I'm saying is like when you go like, okay, we're going to train these extremist forces, we're going to meddle in it, then we're going to have an extremist attack in the U.S. where someone doesn't like that we're interfering, and then we go, oh, it's these damn extremists. Heavens, what are we to do but go and attack them now? It's like, yeah, but that's what we were part of that cause from the beginning.
Yep.
Like it's just a vicious cycle.
Like everyone knows the United States economy is built on war, right?
Yeah.
Right? If there was no war in the United States, it would not be a superpower. It would be nothing like it is today. Let's just say that. So when you have these things, when the top military officials are presenting this to government, like we can do this and this to go to war. It's happening over and over again. And then Andrew just said like, 9/11, like it would have to be like, it would come out by now. But what about like before 9/11, what was it? The New American Project for the New American Century or whatever it is, was Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz and like Jeb Bush and all these guys in 2000 before the election planned, like, pretty much, this has come out now. Like everyone's, it's a lot of research on it that they were going to take control of Iraqi oil, regardless if it was Saddam Hussein or not. This was done before 9/11, and then 9/11 happens. And no matter what you think about 9/11, it was a conspiracy of some degree, whether it was enacted by the United States' own government or
known,
or yeah, it was known and this let happen. That's what they're saying, like. Never let a good crisis go to waste. And like 9/11 happened, super tragic, thousands of people died, changed the entire world. But what it did do was exactly what they had written out the year before of what they wanted to do. And that's, you know, have a presence in the Middle East and pretty much their 50-year war in control of oil and resources is pretty like, it's not out of the question that they planned this stuff to do it. So this like Operation Northwoods is just like one of the instances where it didn't work, and then it was made public, and everyone knows about it now.
I'm just saying that Operation Northwood went like in front of a president who I think, you know, was a very reasonable and rational person, and he said no. And I don't think Operation Northwood is the worst thing to ever go across a president's desk by far. And just like think of some of the people that have been in office, and think about who's in office now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, where's the Well, you got to question the morals.
Look at Gulf of Tonkin. Who was in charge for that? Fucking LBJ.
Yeah.
Of course.
Immediately after the assassination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Going in fucking guns a-blazing. What, like he was quoted saying, basically, they'll do whatever, take whatever force necessary. Oh, it's to fucking get in there and fuck shit up.
It's a giant chess game for them. Moving pieces.
Yeah. So, what's the next attack? A Venezuelan attack on U.S. embassy?
You know, something's definitely happening in Venezuela. They got out, that's what, the world's second largest oil reserve.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot about it, but I can guarantee you it's got something to do with a little bit of oil and a little bit of freedom.
Yeah. Freedom's coming their way, I think.
Sounds like they're in need of some freedom.
Yeah. Liberate all that oil.
Yeah.
I mean, people. Yeah.
I don't know. False flags happen.
Yeah, the weird thing is like, that's not, Northwoods is not a conspiracy. It was, they had these plans. They were more than willing to go ahead with these. And they got nayed at the highest level, which means they passed through eyes of tons of other people who probably could have shot it down before it got to the president and didn't.
Right. It was a president. It was a president elect approved program. Like operation to figure out a way to overthrow the Cuban government. And, you know, and maybe it just didn't get to the point where, you know, JFK is like, you don't have anything better than this? Like, this is the best you can think of. Like, this exactly. is, we can't do that.
I personally think Jeff prevented this whole fucking incident.
He's like, we're not doing the fucking thing.
I think he was going through everything and, you know, he's like, you know what? Some of this makes sense. And then he read Snakes and he was like, what the fuck is going on?
You know what, though? It could have been an even more sinister thing where he looks at it and goes, oh, I think we can do better than this. You know what I mean? Like, we don't know why it got nayed, but it's just scary to think that those decisions come down to one person. And if those one person, you know, has the wrong people backing and putting pressure, you don't know what that decision was going to be.
Yeah.
So I just think it's a scary thing to think that those kind of decisions even come across people's desks. So they're out there. It's a scary thought.
I would, in our lifetime, it's going to happen. There's going to be stuff that's declassified about 9/11 that is going to make you be like, Oh shit.
Oh, yeah,
they knew.
We were right all along.
It may not be that they blew up their own buildings or whatever, but they knew what was happening and they made all the necessary steps to let it happen in order to use the event for their own gain, really. And that's in our lifetime, I think it will come out. Obviously, right now is a lot of people say yay, nay. You don't really know, but yeah, after 25, 30, 40, 50
it'll
years.
It'll probably happen after all the big players who made a shitload of money are dead.
Yeah.
Like, that's when it'll come out.
That's what
it doesn't matter anymore.
No, people just forget and they're like, oh, they did. Oh, man, we knew it. Those conspiracy guys, they fucking told us right on September 12th exactly what happened. And then 50 years later, we're like, ah, goddamn, they're right.
Yeah, I'm on, you know, I would be on board with saying something. I don't rule it out that they knew something and then they knew it was coming. Or there's a good chance it's going to happen. It's like, let's wait and see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, and this could let us go back into the Middle East for a good reason.
A lifetime too. Go there for a lifetime.
Yeah. I've been there forever. God, it's the longest war.
20 years now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost 20
something. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Anyways, that's all I got about Operation Northwoods. And false flags happen. Go hashtag look them up.
Yeah, they are a real thing. They have been happening.
Yeah, let's,
a long time.
Let's wrap this one up. Let's get into some 5-star reviews.
Yay, people saying nice things.
Oh man, we got a ton of nice things being said about us. Awesome sauce by Seth VT2000 from the USA. 5-star review. These guys are entertaining and bring up some great points and topics. It's fun to crush beers and listen to the boys rant and rave. Thanks to Dan for actually doing a little homework now and again. Also, what happened to crazy Aussie Byron? Keep it up, fellas, and get that Randomatron updated. Keep those eyes on the skies.
Dope.
I got casual conversations about aliens. From 5-star review from Humanismu. It always feels like you're part of a conversation at 3 a.m. after the party's over and just a few drunken alien theorists are left on the couch. Their accents add a little pepper on top. Living in the Pacific Northwest, Seattle, I definitely plan on seeing them when they tour. They already feel like old friends. Thanks for keeping my commute entertaining and interesting.
Awesome.
Let's go into some Loving It 5 Stars by IC UFOs from Australia. Hey, guys. I may loving the podcast and started listening from 90 to 80, but now have gone to the start. So funny to see the evolution of certain things like space news. Anyway, I love the name and know exactly the wacky doctor who said alien theorists theorizing. So very funny. And I was very surprised to hear you all don't believe, but rather want to believe in aliens. No, we believe. I believe.
I believe in a lot of stuff.
I believe. I really want to see one.
Yeah, I want to see one too. I've believed, but sadly haven't seen any evidence. But I got a tattoo of an alien on my leg, pre-X-Files, in the early 90s when I was backpacking. So many people would come up to say, I wouldn't say this normally to people, but I'll tell you because of your tattoo. As a result, I've heard some incredible stories over the years. Anyways, keep up the great stuff. I hope you make it to Oz sometime and we can look into some Aussie conspiracies. Cheers, Leon. P.S. I want to get the car number plate. I see UFOs. You could design a t-shirt of that. Oh, thanks, Leon. What is Ryan? You got one queued up on Facebook?
I'll do one from Facebook. Yeah, let's do from Kai Bauer. 5 stars. Started to back the podcast on Patreon, and I absolutely love the bonus content. My only complaint is Andrew should stop moving away from his mic when he talks. Andrew.
Motherfucker.
Andrew, come on. God damn it.
Get your shit together.
That's the first I fucking heard that. I don't know. Usually people want to hear less of me, so I'm surprised.
It's sometimes hard to hear him when he's telling great stories. He apologizes.
You should be sorry.
I'm a hand talker, so shit gets going.
Yeah, when the show goes live, you'll be able to really see him. Really get the full. Oh,
that's when he will shine.
Other than that, it's perfect for car rides, work/school. If there are any Trojans out there listening, #, fight on. What are Trojans? Must be a college team or something.
A college team.
USC.
Could be USC.
Anyways, that's
probably a couple of them.
Let's cap the reviews for this week.
I can't find it. I was looking for one. Someone had done a great one. They did a review, but they only reviewed our Dungeons & Dragons episode. It's like, will I ever find out if Zalarius ruins the quest with another fireball? It's like, well, will Androcles ever find a weapon that works? Will Fjord ever find balance?
Oh, that's fucking great. I hope we do that again soon. That was a blast.
Yeah, no, we'll line one up on time. As for Patreon, if you're not on our Patreon, we're a grassroots podcast. We don't do ads. We could do ads, but we hate it. We'd rather keep it all built by the fans. So it really helps. Anything helps. We have a ton of additional content now. You know, when we first started it, probably not worth it. Now, 100% worth it. We got tons of stuff. We got case files that by the Gruesome Twosome, Dan and I. We've got case files we do Patreon exclusive. We got additional content. We've got our new radio show, X+1, coming out, where we take old-timey radio stories and do the voices. That's pretty fun.
Butcher them.
We butcher the voices.
I thought we did pretty good. We did that in one take. That was pretty good.
One take.
I'm not gonna lie. It was actually pretty fucking awesome.
Yes.
I'm not gonna lie.
Was it?
Yeah. It was great. I've been listening. I've been editing it.
Ton of stuff.
I had to audition for that.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. We're gonna add it to your IMDb. Good. So get on our Patreon if you're not already, and cheers to these people who have got on so far in March: Eddie Radcliffe, Eric Meza, Rebel Lee, Christina Rogers, Sophie Watson, Eliza Agrant Jr. Need It, Gotta Have It, ATT Podcast. Thank you. Droid Boys, Gary Smith, Nathan Hickey, Alex Finley, Moan it, Jackie. What is that? It says in brackets. Like, did he want me to?
Oh, we read that one last time when you weren't here.
Oh, did we?
I didn't know that either. I was like, I didn't get the joke. It must be reference to something.
I wonder if Jackie wants us to moan Alex Finley. Anyways, those are our Patreon supporters so far. Thanks, guys.
Weird.
It really helps.
Got a Zell's Prolapser of the Week. Giving it to @Blair_bat. She's been doing live streams of our, when listening to our podcast and doing live art.
Oh, that's awesome.
On Twitch.
Oh, that's rad.
Done it 2 weeks in a row. So we'll put a link on our Twitter and Facebook, but hers, what is it? Yeah, @Blair_bat on Twitter or blairbat.weebly.com. And she's doing, yeah, live streams of her podcast and drawing aliens. And
super cool.
She's a fucking great artist. So that was Prolapse of the Week. Oh, I got some new music this week.
Ooh, new tunes.
New tunes. It's from another band here from Kelowna/Vancouver. They go back and forth, but they were on the podcast before called The Carbons, and the guy's got a new song out called Black Mirror. So it's out right now. So go check it out on Spotify, Apple, any streaming service, really. I'm gonna plug the song here at the end, Black Mirror. It's cool, like groove rock tune.
Perfect. Don't forget, keep an eye on our social media for AlienCon updates. We're going. We want to see you there. And as we always say at the end of these, keep those eyes on the skies. I'm a
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first call your parents to say, "I'm sorry." And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.